Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and during this segment, we're going to be revisiting the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement. I've had Barbara Kendall, who is one of my guests today, in on this program before, so I'm always happy to invite her back, and joining her is Marianne Bergerfer to talk about some of the things they have coming up. First ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
All right. I've been kind of going through some of the information you have going things coming up, and before we get into those, since it's been a little while since you've been my guest, I always think it's good to start to talk about, you know, what the organization is and how it got started.
I'm glad you asked. The Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement is a local nonprofit effort, and we were established in 1996, so that's almost 20 years, Rick. And we've been offering information, grief support, education to the community for grieving people's benefits for all that time. We're here today to talk about an October event, and for the last few years, people have been expecting a community education event sponsored by us. We've been doing fewer programs, but people still know us and respect the kind of programs that we present.
Now, was there a perceived need for an organization like this when it was started?
Exactly. Good. Asked. Back in those days, Keweenaw Home Nursing and Hospice was getting started, and they were offering grief support to the people they served, but they got all these community calls. You know, people lost a loved one, and they were calling them, can't we get some support or some information from you? And that's how the need began. Dial Help was getting lots of calls from grieving people. So Dial Help, Keweenaw Home Nursing, other organizations got together, and we had a grant to get started 20 years ago, and that's how it began, and we have been continuing ever since.
Now, when you're helping with people who are suffering from grief or from a loss of a loved one, how do you go about doing that? What can you provide?
Well, the coalition is a referral group. So if somebody calls a local hospice or Dial Help, saying, boy, my mother lost my, you know, grown mother. I'm an adult child, and my mother is grieving over the loss of her husband. Isn't there something we can do? So we refer them. We can send them information. Or groups like Marianne's organization has grief support.
Marianne, let's bring you in. What is your group, and how do they help?
I work for UP Health System Portage Hospice and Home Care. And we offer bereavement support for our hospice families. We also offer a bereavement support group that meets monthly, the first Wednesday of each month. And lately, we're really surprised at how many community members are joining our support group. So that just tells me that the need is out there in our community.
So that's a lot of people who need your services or
coming
in. And how do you help them if you know somebody's coming to you and they're looking for some aid? What can you really do?
I guess listen is the best thing. Knowing that there is a group that they can come into, everybody has similar problems. They're all grieving someone they lost. It can be a husband, wife, a child. Loss is loss. And just being able to talk with someone that understands and know that they're not alone means so much to them. We've been having the same group coming for many years. They've got that support system. They enjoy getting out. And it's kind of like a social atmosphere, too, but also someone that can listen to them. And if they need to be pointed towards a grief counselor, we will do that, too.
A grief is one of those great common denominators. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, when you lose somebody important to you, you suffer from it. What kind of people and what different backgrounds do you see that come to your support group for help?
All ages. From, unfortunately, a young mother who lost a child to an elderly person who lost their spouse. They're both grieving in the same ways, and it's really interesting to see the connections that they might make because they've got so much in common, and they're just there to have people listen to their story.
A lot of us will have something of a personal support group if you have friends at work, if you belong to a church, different people that you know, your own friends, social media, those type of things. Well, what I can see the difference here is those, a lot of times those are people who are not feeling the same way you are. So you're going to them and, you know, they're offering their best advice that they can.
Mm-hmm.
But your group is others who feel the same way and are specifically ready to handle your needs.
Correct. A lot of times you'll hear that, well, you know, I've been having good family support and friends, but they're getting to the point where they're tired of hearing my story. You know, they're telling me, get over it already, which is one of the worst things you can say to someone who's grieving, because you never get over it. You just work your way through it. But at a support group, we never say those words. I mean, you can be coming for a year, 2 years, whatever you need.
And I know the loss hits us hard and in different ways. I've never had a grandparent. I had a grandmother who was estranged from the family, from my father's side, and the other three grandparents were gone before I was born. So growing up, when my friends would lose a grandparent, I would always have a hard time understanding, well, okay, yeah, I didn't even know any of mine, you know, and having a hard time relating to that. Now I can relate to other kinds of loss, but it was always been difficult for me to offer support to somebody else other than, oh, you know, I'm really sorry for your loss. I feel real bad for you. From talking with Barbara in the past, I know that the people that help out through your organization and others, they're people a lot more experienced than I would be at helping you and empathizing and knowing what to say and what to do.
Yeah, and just for the average person out there that doesn't know what to say to a friend who has lost someone, just being sincere and saying, I am sorry, and just being that ear for them, it just makes them, the bereaved, feel so much more comfort, and they're not going through it alone.
Let's talk about some of the things that the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement are doing. They have planned. You have some things coming up, Barbara, and I want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about those.
Yes. You've been talking about an important part of our organization, but education, helping people understand grief, and advanced planning is also important. People are in the midst of a loss, and maybe they haven't done the kind of planning that they would have needed to do to make it easier, and that's the emphasis of the program that's coming up. We've had requests for this program. We've done this type of program at least 3 times, and the title of the program is Planning Ahead from Living to Dying, Making Decisions. And the emphasis or the idea for this came when people experience these losses and then they just don't know what to do. And the speakers we have lined up are going to be helping people look at advanced planning. And it's real interesting in our country today, we don't talk much about this. We think we're going to live forever. We think that everything is going to be okay. We're never going to get sick. We're never going to be in a spot where we can't make our own decisions. We have kind of this youthful view of life, when really, we're all going to die. We're all going to end this world, and a gift to give to the people behind us is to do some advanced planning, to talk about it. It's not easy. Picture the person, the adult, a child going to their parents saying, Mom and Dad, do you have your affairs in order? You know, if something happens to you, what's going to happen to the cottage? What's going to happen? Do you have a will? And these are things that people aren't used to talking about. But boy, it makes it a lot easier if people do. So we got wonderful speakers lined up. And I'm sure that this makes sense to your listeners, although it might be something that they haven't thought about on a Sunday morning. But Marianne's going to tell you who we got lined up for this panel discussion coming next week on October 7th. At the Portage District Library in the evening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Kathy Tazak, who unfortunately firsthand has learned how difficult it is to not be prepared when you lose a spouse. And she's going to tell us how she became a single mom, grieving her husband, trying to raise her kids, and how do you go about, you know, maneuvering through finding out about retirement plans or something so simple as even passwords on many of your, you know, bill paying over the internet. You know, do you know what, if your husband does the, all of, takes care of the bills, do you know what the passwords are to get in? I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but unless you know that stuff, how are you going to get in? So Kathy's going to give us some good examples of how to kind of prepare yourself, if that's even, if it's even possible, but practical advice. Then we're going to have Dr. Hopper. She's a local physician practicing at UP Health System Portage in Hancock. And she will explain what to discuss with your physician and your healthcare healthcare advocates to ensure that your end-of-life wishes are followed. Then we're going to have Roger Hellman, who is a local attorney and certified financial planner. And he's going to discuss how to prepare financially for your end of life, including decisions that need to be made and the legal documents that are needed. And we're going to have Sarah Bertano, who is a licensed medical social worker, a graduate of Michigan State University, and currently works for Aspirus Keweenaw Home Health and Hospice. And she is going to provide and explain how to complete the patient care advocate form in the Five Wishes booklets. Maybe Barbara can kind of explain the Five Wishes and what that means.
It's an instrument that people can take home, and it gets a conversation started with somebody. You know, what do you want to happen if you can't make your own decisions? Do you want to be put on a ventilator? Do you want to have CPR? Do you want to have your heart started again if it stops? Do you want to go to a nursing home if you can't take care of yourself? Do you want to have home care? Many of those decisions are in this booklet, and Sarah's going to explain it.
Would most of these things be covered by having life insurance and having a will?
Certainly a will give some directions to people. Life insurance is a whole other story. You know, people, this attorney's going to talk about financial planning and things like that.
And I realize it's kind of a loaded question,
because
I wanted to bring up, Marianne mentioned just about the passwords.
Mm-hmm.
And not long ago, I lent my wife my cell phone to call me when she was ready for me to come pick her up. But I didn't tell her the code to unlock the phone. And so, you know, I'm waiting for the call, and she ended up having to walk somewhere else where she can, you know, borrow a phone and then call me. But it never occurred to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the emails are password protected. Our bank account information is password protected, mm-hmm. as they all need to be and should be. And since I am the primary handler of all of that, I don't know if I have that information recorded anywhere. In fact, I'm quite sure that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as a head of a household, you know, as a husband and a father, you take great pride in taking care of your family. You make sure that they have food on the table, their bills are paid, they have housing over their head, the lights are kept on, the water's kept on, and you make sure that you have some sort of means to protect them if something were to happen, like through life insurance. But some money only goes so far when they're the ones that are going to have to carry on if something were, unfortunately, to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And not preparing for those things, you set your family up to fail. You spend so much effort taking care of them to not have taken care of them in what's going to be, or what would be, one of their toughest periods of their lives.
Rick, are you going to show up at the meeting?
Putting me on the spot.
Yeah, it sounds like you're the perfect person that needs to come to our meeting just to hear these people and just get some ideas.
Well, I think a lot of people could benefit from
mm-hmm.
this, and
mm-hmm.
we will fall into the trap oftentimes, like you mentioned earlier, the belief that we'll live forever,
mm-hmm.
That accidents will never happen to me, or I'll never, you know, if I do get sick, I'll have plenty of time to do these things. But the harsh reality of it is usually, when it's going to cause the most damage is when you don't expect it.
Exactly.
All right.
And think about this too, Rick. Very long ago, death happened without decisions or discussion. People died. Certainly, we didn't live as long. And now with medical advanced technology and all these other technologies you've just been talking about, it's more complicated. So people really do need to give that gift to your loved ones. Give that gift to your wife or spouse that you have these things in order. You know, you have these files with the accounts ready, the passwords ready. And in the event that you aren't going to show up tonight for supper, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm. Now, for your event on October 7th, do you need to register, or is there a cost associated with
that? No, we've been very clear that we are a community gift to this community, and there's no cost. Portage District Library is a nice venue to come. It's neutral, it's community supported, and their room holds about 50 people, and we usually filled the place when we've offered a program.
Go ahead.
6:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just show up. Now, if people have questions ahead, we've published we have a website, and we've also published Nancy Wakeman's email. She is our chairperson, and she's happy to answer. Maybe before the program ends, we can give that information too.
All right. So you can attend without paying to attend this, but what if your heart is moved and you want to be able to support the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement? Is there ways people can help?
Yes, we will have a donation box at the event, and we're a 501c3 organization, which means if people mail us a contribution, we will give them a letter which helps with their taxes if that's what they need. We have had many donations lately in memory of people. Mm-hmm. People have lost a loved one, and we are the organization they designate as a gift to remember someone. So that's how we get our money. We'd love to get more grant monies, but you know, Rick, that's harder and harder in our community.
Sure.
To apply for grant funding.
Mm-hmm. And it's a long process, arduous process, to apply for a grant, too.
Exactly, to make that plan and then go through all that and submit it and then have the group say, well, we're not going to fund you.
Now, if somebody doesn't have an abundance of extra money, but they do have time, you can use volunteers.
We can use volunteers. We have a 12-person board of directors, and we take applications for people on the board. We have volunteers. We love people with expertise, people who are good at writing ads, good with connections with the newspaper. We have a local funeral a director that donates printed envelopes for us. So we do have a lot of in kind of donations.
Now, besides the event on October, first let me ask, is there anything you'd like to add to the October 7th event?
Okay, let's give people the information they need if they have questions.
Okay.
You can always contact the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement at Dial Help. Dial Help will give the box number. We have a box, post office box in Houghton. And our website is www.grief-ccgb, that's Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement, the letters, .org. And Nancy Wakeman's email address is here somewhere. We'll get it for you.
We're pulling it up right now.
Okay. Well, we'll get it before the end of the program.
Do you have it right there?
No.
Okay. We'll dig it up. When I was a child,
yes,
one of my vivid memories is my aunt had passed away,
mm-hmm,
and was a very close friend of my mom and dad. It was my mom's sister. And though I can remember the services and everything, what I do remember is the processing of this change that my folks went through, and witnessing this as a young child. And it came up and it probably does sometimes when you register for, you know, as at a funeral home, they were contacted by somebody selling burial plots. And my father was very upset. I mean, they were still processing all of this and didn't want to be, didn't want to have to deal with death any more than he was already dealing with, going through the loss of my aunt. And I don't know at what point they finally returned to that. But thinking back to those memories and remembering what they were going through, I think a lot of people say, well, when I'm confronted with death, then I'll deal with these problems. Or, you know, they'll feel that they'll feel motivated to do it when somebody close to them passes away. Oh, well, that will put it to the forefront. You'll start thinking about burial plots when somebody you love dies. What I saw was the exact opposite, that you are, you'll be overwhelmed during that time. So, you know, people say, well, I may not want to go to a, this type of an event that's going to be talking about death on a, you know, a fine, what would it be, that'd be a Saturday?
No, it's a Wednesday evening, next Wednesday.
Okay, well, on a Wednesday, there it is. We have, on a Wednesday, on a fine Wednesday evening here in the fall, thinking about, you know, myself or my loved ones dying, and I'll wait till that's more of an appropriate time. But when you get to that appropriate time, that's the last thing you're going to want to do is start planning.
Exactly. You're making a good case for people to come to this event. They don't have to talk at the event. They can sit there and take it in and just leave. But you made another good point about funeral directors. Funeral directors in our community are the most awesome people. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about this approach for burial plots or anything. These men and women are excellent and very, very well trained. And I'm sure your father would have never had that kind of an experience if that death had happened in our community.
And it didn't. We were outside of Detroit.
That explains everything.
Okay, let me talk about, oh, we found the email address here. Go ahead and give that here since...
Okay, we were talking about if people, if your listeners on Sunday want more information or to talk to a Community Coalition member, they need to contact Nancy Wakeman at her email address.
And her email address is nlwakeman, W-A-K-E-M-A-N, at gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you for that. And we'll post this information up on KeenanReport.com so that you'll be able to access that whenever you need to. Also on our community calendar page, we'll get this event up there. If it's not already up there, I'll let Todd Van Dyke know to get it on there. And is there anything else coming up that you want to talk about and before I go further into something else?
I don't think so. I really hope we fill the library community room and people enjoy meeting these speakers. People have been anxious to meet this new physician from Portage Hospital.
Katrina Hopper?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard good things about her. Mm-hmm. She certainly had a nice picture up on the billboard for a while.
Yes, very, yes. So another reason why people would like to come, and our attorney, we've had him before, he's very knowledgeable and very forthcoming. So, and to kick off the program is going to be Kathy Tazek with this very heartwarming story. I'm sure you've heard of Kathy before.
Okay. That doesn't come up to mind, but let me know. Who's she?
Mm-hmm.
Who's she?
Okay.
We've got a couple of minutes.
Okay. What else? We appreciate your questions and your preparation, and we really think that the peace of mind of people will, you know, just coming to the event and just soaking it in, just giving them some thoughts, giving them some ideas to approach loved ones. What comes to mind mostly is this, these adult children that are caregivers now. You know, in our world, we see more and more adults caring for elderly parents and loved ones. And then this turmoil of decision-making and how do I approach mom and dad? And then a big mess when a father of a family of three or four kids dies and nothing has been settled. And then grieving, like you said before, grieving people probably aren't at their best for decision-making and communication.
And that's kind of looking at it, too, just, you know, we think of the young people thinking about our senior citizens passing on and trying to think of that as the other way is, you know, as a parent, what will you do if one of your children were to, unfortunately, can you be any less prepared for something like that? Can you ever be prepared? I don't know. Emotionally, you certainly can't. Even if you don't really want to go head to head with that right now, attending something like this would at least maybe prepare you a little bit in your mind for when that happens, at least what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, the event is the Planning Ahead from Living to Dying, Making Decisions. It'll be on Wednesday, October 7th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Portage Lake District Library in Houghton. My guests have been from the Community Coalition on Grief and Bereavement, Barbara Kendall, and Marianne Bergerfer. Thank you so much for being my guests.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.